It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read the first six verses of this chapter today. And so please that you open your Bibles and hope that you're able to do that today to read along with us as we study this precious part of God's wonderful Word. Joshua chapter 3, and beginning to read with verse 1 is where we'll start. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went before the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and they went before the people. Oh, let's begin with prayer after reading this precious word. Father, I just ask that you'd show us your will and your way. It is so important, dear Lord, that we take time to study your precious word, to enjoy it, and please that you just guide and lead us as we look to these just six short verses, but very powerful, very meaningful verses. Every word that's proclaimed in your word for us, that's written in your word for us, is for our learning. And so please help us today, direct us, touch our hearts. I ask first, before we ever even start the study, that you will look and penetrate into the heart of every lost person that is listening today. So often we have folks that go to church, or maybe they don't think church is necessary, and so they've never even attended church, but they have missed the opportunity of coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. Somehow, some way, they have ignored it or never heard it. Well, dear Father, please today that they understand that your Son, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross. Not only died on the cross, but was buried. And not only was buried, but 3 days later rose from the dead. We serve a living God, and dear Father, we thank you that for your miracle working of raising your Son and having the power to have victory over death, so that we may have victory over death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, your word tells us. So please today, Lord, touch the hearts of the lost, that they will trust in you and be saved, be born again, and begin this wonderful walk. So please, guide and lead us now, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, the first verse. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. They were beginning to get so very close to this land that was promised to them. They were about to enter the land of promise. If their faith would have been equal to a mustard seed 38 years before, they would have possessed the land then. Instead of that, this unbelief, God turned them back into the wilderness to wander and then to die. And we know that from 19 years old down was all that was allowed to stay alive except for Joshua and Caleb. If you would stop and think then and realize what that means, those that are standing at the door getting ready to go into this promised land would be somewhere between the age of 48 to 50 years old. And so that would be the oldest. And then from there on down, as they begin to go into the land, they have no more power or strength to take on the enemy, no more wisdom to take on the enemy than did their parents and other family members 38 years before. So what's the difference? The difference is faith. They believe God. Same thing with our life. We can have tremendous victory if we'll just believe His word and walk each day. They're about to go into the land. They have been waiting now for all these years, for years and years. The original promise was about 430 years before, with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. Jacob was the father of the 12 sons that became the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. We're going to be going through those before long. These folks are in camp now on the plains of Moab, looking towards this land. Only one thing between them, and that's the old Jordan River. The old Jordan River, we need to realize, speaks of death. And not only of death, but of not only of death, but also judgment. Judgment follows. And I want you to see that, and I'm sorry for stumbling through it there just a little bit as I read through the scripture, because we need to see that the Jordan, where does it flow? It flows into the Dead Sea. And so we need to realize that death and judgment, and we need to see that we understand what beautiful picture that we have as they begin to follow the priests and go down through this river to the other side. Do you know that this is the same miracle that God performed almost 40 years ago when they crossed the Red Sea? God, by Moses, divided the sea and they went across on dry land. We find exactly the same thing's going to happen here. They had to go by faith then. You got to go by faith today. And so as we're preparing to cross the Jordan River, I want you to see very clearly the picture that this has for the nation of Israel and for you and me. So to begin with, let's look at this death that this represents, going down into bottom of the river and coming back out on the other side. Right now, they are standing on the side of Moab, looking to the promised land. They can see the promise, but they don't have it. It's not possessed, and there's a way to get there. And so I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, to kind of help you to get the background and get things set here. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Israel looked over to the other side of the Jordan, to the land of God that God had promised to them. This promise is the same with you and me. We come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we receive these blessings. We receive the promises, not in its fullness. Its fullness won't come until we see him face to face. But in part, we can enjoy so many blessings now. Eternal life begins immediately upon salvation. Eternal life does not begin when we get to heaven. Eternal life begins when you choose to trust Jesus as your Savior. And once again, this scripture verse in Romans that we have read, we're going to tie this in with going down into the water and up the other side, and also with the Ark of the Covenant going before them. This tells of the inheritance that we have in Christ, the privileges that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. This picture here and that scripture verse of Romans chapter 6 tells of the wonderful, wonderful experience, heavenly experience, that we can enjoy here and now up on earth. Galatians 2:20 is going to help us to understand, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith on the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, trouble with that word, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days. How long was Jesus in the grave? 3 days, 3 nights. After 3 days, the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Okay, we're going to begin now. When you see the Ark, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were to go forward, go first. This Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, is such a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to go first. Please, just get this pictured in your mind. We're on the side of the Jordan. We can see the promised land on the other side, but we've got this river between us, and we don't seem to have a way to get across. And that's exactly it is with you and me as far as our salvation's concerned. And then because salvation comes, because we trust in Jesus Christ, then the opportunities of heaven, the opportunities of serving him and having the joy and the excitement each day are available to us, but only if we follow the way of the cross, follow Jesus. We've got to follow Jesus. There's no other way. There's no works. There's nothing. We have to follow Jesus. Okay, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were to go forward. That Ark is a picture of Christ. The Ark of the Covenant, remember, is the meeting place between God and man. If you remember, as we went through the book of Exodus some time ago, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant's where the high priest could come forward and the God the Father would come down and meet. They would meet right there. Of course, our high priest is the Lord Jesus. So you see, we can go right to God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's where God and man were brought together. We're going to have the opportunity. Now, it still has to come by faith. You have to trust by faith this truth. This meeting place between God and man, this Ark of the Covenant, is built with two different products, wood and gold. The wood, as we've been reminded so many times, speaks of his perfect humanity. The gold speaks of his deity, the glory of his deity. And so it must go first. Not only go first, but must picture death. And to go down into this river, into the water, is picturing the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to follow. And that's where we are able to be a part of his death. Look at this beautiful picture again. Let's just stay so close to it, back and forth. We'll go back to Romans here in just a little bit to tie this all together. It must go down first. By dying and rising again, he has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find that 2 Timothy 1:10. There is a space that's between. And this space between that is to be left is 2,000 cubits. That's almost a half a mile. 2,000 cubits, it's a half a mile, is a space between. Now, how wide was the Jordan River? You know, we think of the Mississippi, you know, it's a mile wide. Was this the same size as they crossed into the Jordan to Jericho here, into the land of Canaan? I don't know. But they were to stay that far behind. And you see, we need to teach our children. We need to know ourselves that we need to reverence our Lord. We need to. The only reason we can come and sit at his table and eat is because he has invited us. He has given us the way to do that, and that's through the cross of Calvary. But there is nothing that you and I can do for to be there, to be have the opportunity of coming before the Lord without God giving us the way and giving us the plan, and that's the cross of Calvary. And so we need to always hold him in high esteem. We need to reverence him. It led the way. God leads the way. There is no other way. There's only one foundation that is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. There is only one means of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. There is only one God. We need to understand this. We need to stand with our Lord and Savior and walk with him. He leads the way. Alone, the priests were to go down into the river. Christ entered alone into death. No one could do it for him. No one could go before him. No one could be a part, have any part of it. Remember, the darkness came upon the earth. No one could even look upon that. What a glorious day for us. And what a horrible day for our God, that is, he had to face death. And these priests, these Levites, were picturing that. They went before the people. And again, 2,000 cubits, approximately a half mile, was separated between them as they went down into the water. And we know what happened when we got there, because the water parted. And they went down once again on dry land, just like they did when they crossed the Red Sea some 40 years before. How many people remembered that? Because even these Levites, they're at most 50 years old. They would have been at most 19 years old as they witnessed this happening back at the Red Sea. And so you think of what you remember. If today you're in that range of 40 to 50 to 60 years old, can you think back at the events that took place when you were 19 years old and younger? Because that's the memory that they had. That's the memory they had. But here, the difference between this group and the group before is they trusted and believed God. They believed his word. And so we find that, can you imagine the excitement as that finally, through all this time, can you imagine the excitement as they lifted up that ark and put that wooden dowel that overlaid with gold that was through the rings to hoist that ark up, and they begin to go forwards? Can you imagine the excitement as the people stood back this distance to watch this event take place? Oh, finally, we're going to go into the promised land. Finally, we're going to grab hold of the blessings of God. Finally. And the ark goes before them. They could only watch. They could do nothing. Once again, remember, this is God's work. This is His doing, nothing of ours. And so now, let me just read to kind of bring us back up again. 3 days they waited from the time that they brought him to the edge. Waited 3 days, being the death burial, the 3 days in the grave between the death and the resurrection of our Lord. It came to pass 3 days when the officers went through the hosts. Verse 2, verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go." So stand behind, wait, and then proceed behind it. You've never passed this way before. And that's exactly the way it is with you and me when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. We have never passed that way before. If you say, "You know, Larry, I don't believe that you have to have this personal relationship with Jesus that you talk about." Well, you know what? You've never passed this way before, so you don't know, do you? I have. I've come that way. I have come to the cross of Calvary, and I'm on the other side. I've crossed the Jordan. I'm in the promised land. Some people believe that that's heaven. That's not heaven. There's no fightings in heaven. There's no war in heaven. And there's going to be a lot of battles take place here as they cross this river and go in to have victory of the land. That's our life now. But God has an inheritance for us, and a wonderful inheritance, and we need to be excited about looking forward to it. So all this begins to take place. And so this distance, you stand back. You don't know where you're going. I will lead you. And He does. God leads us through death. God leads us through the grave. God leads us from death unto life by means of the cross of Calvary. Now look what happens here in verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You know, after 3 days and three nights, when did our Lord come out of the tomb alive? Yes, it was on that Sunday morning. On that Sunday morning. You know, people try to rightly divide all that to get it from Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday and get everything taken care of by Sunday. Well, you can't get 3 days. And He says, well, a part of a day is equal to a full day and everything. God said 3 days and three nights. God put into place the days, 7 days a week. And when He tells of Noah being 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, that's the same as our Lord to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. I don't believe it to be partial in any way. I think it was 3 days and three nights. So you do the math, whatever you want to do. But when we come to Sunday morning and He's alive, victory, He is alive. Morning, in the morning, we're going to go. It says sanctify themselves. Now, we're going to go back here to Exodus chapter 19, as I want to read to see what that has to say. Exodus chapter 19, hope you're able to turn back there with me. 19, and we have a few verses to read, just 10 through 15. And so we begin, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not be an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned, or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. There was a whole time of separation there. And so Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves. Be ready, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead, I promise you, he did wonders. That was the greatest miracle of all, to have victory and to come out of that grave. And so now verse 6, And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. What a day. What a day of excitement. Now let's come back to this scripture verse of Romans as we come to a close today. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Because we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, this walk in newness of life is what they were going to have when they got to the land of Canaan. All right? So, working it backwards just a little bit, that's what they're going for, walking in newness of life. Once we have been through this death with Jesus, once you have, and the only way you can do that is to be a part of his dying. He died for you and for me. He took all of our sins away. You see why you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because he said, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, you need to trust in Jesus Christ today. Know him not just with your mind, within your heart. Being born again, as John chapter 3 says. Now, backing up to the first of that area of scripture in Romans 6:3-4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, immersed in Christ. Look at the picture going down into this river and back up out of the river. Who went first? The priest went first with the ark. What did the Ark of the Covenant stand for? The Ark of the Covenant is our Lord Jesus Christ. He went before us. He took on death first and then brought us life. And it went before them. And then they followed. And so baptized, immersed into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death, going down through this river and up through the other side. Pictures this precious life that we can have as we come up out the other side. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. This is a picture of baptism. You see why baptism by sprinkling is nothing more than a dedication, you might say. People have even started to call it just that. But they still call it baptism. But you see, the picture of baptism is so wonderful, because you go down into the water and you're lowered down into the water and you come up back up out of the water. It pictures you dying with Christ and being raised with Christ. Standing there before you go down into it, it's just like these people standing on the side of Moab in the land of Moab, awaiting to cross the Jordan River. They were waiting to cross the river. They could see the promised land, but they couldn't get to it because you have to go through this river to get there. You have to literally die to live. Now, God opened the river and allowed them to walk through on dry land. But who went first? The Ark of the Covenant. Who goes before us? Jesus Christ. My dear friend, you have got to trust in Jesus. There's no other way to get to the other side without trusting in Jesus. If you try to cross through there any other way, it's going to be a waste of your time. And you're going to find yourself, when you wake up after death, and you will, you're going to wake up and be in the lake of fire. You're going to be in the place of torment awaiting that final judgment. My dear friend, I just ask you that you trust in Jesus as your Savior today. call upon him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?